On December 27th, 2018, during the middle of the government shutdown, no less, that continues, no less, the EPA issued a proposed rule that would revise the mercury and air toxic standards, aka the MATS rule. This rule was put in place by the Clean Air Act of 2018 and required air emissions from various places to be monitored and to have harmful substances removed from their exhaust. During this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we are going to be looking at this rule, diving into it to determine what it means, how it affects us, as well as what we can do about it. Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to. Welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a black activist, advocacy, and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for black people in America through education, economics, and a culture shift. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PAXinc.org. Leave a comment, leave a review, tell a friend to tell a friend, take a survey, get involved, volunteer, do whatever you can to help them because they're doing whatever they can to help you, including bringing to you this show on the PAX rule. Let's get into it. That's the MATS rule, not the PAX rule. So in 1963, the Clean Air Act was passed with the goal of cleaning up the environment. In 1948, a thick cloud of pollution had hovered over Denora, Pennsylvania for 5 days, killing 20 people and making almost half of the 14,000 residents sick. I believe it was 6,000 of the 14,000 people got sick, something like that. In 1952, nearly 3,000 people died in a killer fog incident in London. The air was so thick that buses needed guides with lanterns walking ahead of them. These incidents and others created a level of understanding and a bit of fear and a bit of wonderment around the issues and dangers of air pollution. Thus, the Clean Air Act of 1963. Originally, it was mostly just to establish and provide funding for research on air pollution. But in 1970, however, it was updated and the EPA was created to carry out the law. In 1990, Congress gave the law a super facelift and expanded the EPA's authority to implement and enforce regulations on air pollutants while also introducing a cost-benefit analysis requirement. The Clean Air Act gives the EPA the authority to set limits on certain air pollutants. These limits cover the entirety of the nation and governs how much of any particular pollutant can be in the air at any particular time. Now, part of how it achieves this is by putting restrictions on emissions from various sources, such as chemical plants, power plants, and other utilities, and steel mills, and things like that. And since it's a federal law, states and tribes can have stronger laws, but they can't be weaker than the standards set by the Clean Air Act, the CAA, and the EPA. When I say CAA, that's the Clean Air Act, CAA, so that's not a separate organization or institution or nothing like that. That's the actual law that I'm talking about. All right, moving forward. This isn't just about chemicals and things like that, though. There are also restrictions on particle pollution, known as particulate matter, which is a very fine dust, and it's the very fine dust and smoke that forms from various processes that can cause extreme damage when breathed in. That stuff has been known to cause internal lung scarring and things of that nature. Breathing in dust is not good for you. And all of these things help with keeping asthma low, heart disease low, various other illnesses low in terms of people developing these illnesses. And they also help to keep people that have these illnesses already. It helps keeping them in check, keeping their illnesses in check. For those of you that are asthmatic, such as myself, you know well that when you get around dust or any particular particulate matter, anything that's fine, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that your asthma is going to flare up and ask you what the hell is going on. So the less of that we have out there in the atmosphere, the better. But moving on from this, because this show isn't necessarily about the CAA. It's about this MATS rules proposal. So we're going to move on from the CAA by moving to another stage of the CAA. So in 2012, the CAA received another update, applying tighter controls and giving the EPA even more power to regulate pollutant emissions. And in particular, we are looking at the MATS rule. Now, the MATS rule was actually created after a series of events, but it was finalized in 2005 to regulate mercury emissions from power plants. Now, the MATS rule at the time wasn't called the MATS rule. It was called the Clean Air Mercury Rule, CAMR. But in February of 2008, the DC Circuit Court vacated the rule, removing power plants from the Clean Air Act's list of sources of hazardous air pollutants, because they said the EPA was using the wrong section to attempt to regulate coal and gas power plants. So they said that the EPA should have been using Section 112, but they were actually using Section 111. So they vacated the rule and nullified everything. Now, in 2011, the EPA proposed a new rule to regulate mercury and other toxic emissions from power plants, which would replace the Clean Air Mercury Rule that had been vacated with the Mercury and Air Toxic Standards, which is what we have now. Now, in 2016, whilst complying with the cost-benefit analysis, the EPA used a few different metrics, a few different criteria to determine whether or not the rule was beneficial, because you got to make sure that you aren't spending too much money saving lives and making people's quality of life better. You got to make sure that you're doing it, you know, effectively and efficiently in terms of dollars. $1 million to save one life is not worth it. Let the person die. But that's not what this show is about. In the end, they determined that there were several ways they could look into this. One of the key benefits being that the implementation of the rule would only require about 2-3% of the industry's annual revenues. So it's only going to cost about $9.6 billion annually out of the more than $350 billion that the industry makes to implement this rule. And I would only that's only about 2-3% of the industry's annual revenues. Now, it would only represent about 6% of the industry's expenditures, annual expenditures, and would only amount to an increase in retail cost of about 3%. So all of this was them assessing the ability of the industry to absorb the cost of implementing the MATS rule, of implementing the various tools and technologies that would be required to ensure that their emissions are meeting the requirements. And most of us would hear those numbers, 2-3% of the annual revenues, 6% of industry expenditures, and only a 3% rise in retail costs. We would hear all that and we would say, okay, that sounds like you could eat it. That sounds like we could all absorb that. And in 2016, the EPA would agree with you if that's what you said. They determined that it was definitely possible for the industry, the sector, to absorb this new rule for the oil and coal power plants, electric generating units, to absorb this. When it came to the benefits, the EPA estimated that the net benefits of the rule would be valued between $37 and $81 billion, as billion with a B, as in boy, it feels good to breathe in this fresh air. And obviously, $37 billion on the low end, $81 billion on the high end, that's a lot more. That's a lot more than the $10 billion it would cost. And so the benefits of this rule will largely come into play when you think about the savings in terms of healthcare. Dirty air can cause aging of the lungs, loss of lung capacity, decreased functioning, which all result in extremely shortened lifespans and death. There have been some studies in certain areas that have shown that in areas where people are living in dirty air or toxic environments, as much as 10 to 15 years of their life can be cut off. And in some extreme cases, 20 to 30 years of their life can be cut off, where you have people with a life expectancy in the 50s in these areas. So this is serious. You know, we all talk about the coal miners and the black lung. You could think about all of us basically living in a state where we could all acquire something like that just from going outside and breathing the air. If, and that's an extreme case, admittedly, but try and paint a picture, man. Get off my back. So, in addition to the shortened lifespans and death, you're also looking at heart disease, coronary artery disease, heart failure, pregnancy complications, asthma, so on, so forth, which all also result in shortened lifespans and death. Now, mercury in particular is a cause of a lot of concern because in addition to doing some of the things mentioned above, mercury also has the added benefit of increasing birth defects, lowering IQs, loss of vision, lack of coordination, impairment in speech and hearing, muscle weakness, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. I mean, it is a neurotoxin. And let's be clear, if you're exposed to elevated levels of mercury for an extended period of time, these effects become permanent. How you like me now? I'm now. It is difficult to fathom why this would even be on the table, but we're going to keep moving. It is important to mention that while mercury is a natural substance that can be found in the air in small amounts naturally, human emissions have dramatically pushed the limit on what can be considered a safe environment. Because we have so many processes that we depend on to live, such as oil and coal-fired power plants and various chemical things that are involved in the processing of certain structures and certain things. All of these things produce mercury and various air pollutants as a byproduct, as a waste product. And so we're pumping large amounts of this stuff in the air, and it's not naturally supposed to be there. And that's where you run into the issues. And again, especially in those areas immediately surrounding the buildings that pump out these things. So anyways, in 2016, the EPA said that the $10 billion it would cost to implement MATS regulations on coal and gas power plants was worth it because the benefits could be valued at $37 to $81 billion. They deemed that the rule was necessary and appropriate, which is terminology specific to the CAA, is specific to Section 112, and specific to what we're talking about. And in December of 2018, So that is specific to what we're talking about and specific to all of these other things. So they determined that it was necessary and appropriate to have this rule come in place. Boom. Moving forward, we're going to what they're trying to do now at the end of 2018 and the start of 2019. Let's get to it. So in December of 2018, the EPA went back on itself. You know, new administration, a new head of the EPA. Scott Pruitt was his name. And deregulating the environment was his game. And now he's been kicked out because he's been under so many investigations that they determined that this fool was lame. But they replaced him with another player in the game who was determined to do the same thing. But he's a Washington bureaucrat, and he don't give a damn about none of that. So he said that he just going to keep doing what he do. So that's where we at. The guy that's currently in charge of the EPA is a former coal lobbyist. And I believe he's a former coal CEO, but I could be wrong. Anyways, I know he's a former guy with deep connections to the coal industry. But that's neither here nor there because we're talking about this rule. So the EPA went back on itself in December 2018 and declared that the rule was not necessary and appropriate and that the old math was filled with errors and misconsiderations. They determined that the benefits of the rule would only be about $46 million annually, not the $37 to $81 billion that had been previously reported. They view the previous interpretation of section of the Clean Air Act, Section 112, as unreasonable and chose a different interpretation to properly fulfill their mandate. And under this more reasonable interpretation, I got my rabbit ears up, this more reasonable interpretation, they found that the benefits were reduced by 99.9%. You heard me right. 99.9%. If you go from 37 billion to 4 million, you have just lost 99.981% of your money. And we're not even going to talk about going from the upper ends of 81 billion to 6 million. That's like, you know, that you remember we used to talk about if Oprah Winfrey or if Bill Gates woke up with Oprah Winfrey's money. Well, I guess that analogy don't work right now because the gap has been closed. But it would be kind of like if Jeff Bezos woke up with Oprah money. And actually, that analogy don't work either because he's about to lose half of his money in his divorce. But you get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. There's levels to this. So in any case, the section that they're referring to, and I'm going to read this section. So the section, the administrator, it says here, and I'm going to read it word for word. The administrator, oh, I keep stopping, but I'm going to try to tell you. So this is Section 112 of the Clean Air Act. Section 112, Section N, Section 1, Spot A in the section. The administrator shall perform a study of the hazards to public health reasonably anticipated to occur as a result of emissions by electric utility steam generating units of pollutants listed under subsection B after imposition of the requirements of this act. The administrator shall report the results of this study to Congress within 3 years after the date of the enactment of the Clean Air Act amendments of 1990. The administrator should develop and describe in the administrator's report to Congress alternative control strategies for emissions which may warrant regulation under this section. The administrator shall regulate electric utility steam generating units under this section if the administrator finds such regulation is appropriate and necessary after considering the results of the study required by this subparagraph. So the very first sentence in that says the administrator should perform a study of the hazards to public health reasonably anticipated to occur as a result of emissions. So I don't understand. They don't really go into detail about what's so unreasonable about the previous administration's interpretation of the rule. Well, they do, but they don't. So we move forward. So after reading that, and again, after reading that, you can make up your own mind or you can go and look up the information for yourself and make up your own mind there. But so here we are. The new EPA asserts that there are unquantified benefits to the rule. So this new administration does admit that there are other benefits to the rule that they didn't consider, but they say that they didn't consider them because they are unquantified. They are unable to be identified, and that the identification of these rules is not sufficient. And since these benefits can't be identified and they can't be quantified, they can't be counted, and thus it is a gross imbalance under the interpretation of this rule of that section I read by the new administration. It is a gross imbalance to force power plants to comply with the regulation because they would be spending $10 billion annually to comply, but the net benefits would only be $4 to $6 million by their interpretations. Even though there are other benefits, they're just saying that we can't identify those benefits and we can't quantify them because we can't identify them. So all of that the old EPA, all of that stuff they were talking about, $37 billion to $81 billion in benefits. Nah, none of that's where it's at. All of that's wrong. So they determined that it was a gross imbalance, and thus it was not necessary and appropriate to regulate these power plants or oil and coal power plants under the MATS rule, regardless of whether or not they can absorb it, and regardless of whether or not it will actually save lives and increase the quality of life, because those things can't be identified or qualified. They also made the argument that this rule wouldn't change anything in operation because coal and oil power plants would still be on the list of affected sources, according to the Clean Air Act. But we know how this works. You chip away at regulation until it's toothless, and then you either operate as if it doesn't exist or you completely remove it. So the question I would ask to anybody that would say, yeah, but if they, so what, they changed the rule, it's not going to change anything in terms of practical application. If this rule would change nothing, then why propose it? What's the purpose of removing the necessary and appropriate tag and removing the rule and its impact on oil and coal power plants if it doesn't change anything? It does change something. It sets the stage for further deregulation. It loosens the grip. It loosens the tightened hold. It loosens the ability of the EPA and of other governing bodies to go in and dictate what these power plants are allowed to emit. It allows them the freedom, whether now or in the future, to do things that they would not be allowed to do if this rule were left in place as it is before the change. And it reduces the EPA's ability to impose whatever punishments need to be imposed in order to make sure that these power plants are within the realm of proper regulation and proper emission standards. We also have to remember that mercury regulation has been defeated before in February of 2008. And I went over the health risk associated with deregulated smokestacks. These plants are also usually closest to low-income communities and minority communities, and they will be disproportionately affected. We will be disproportionately affected because I am black. Now, I understand the economics behind it. They drive, you know, power plants, coal, oil, things like that, they usually drive down property values. But I need us to understand the potential ramifications if we allow these things to pass. So, what can we do? Well, the EPA did put all of this out while the government was shut down, and the EPA is affected by it. Their website has been disappearing since the new administration came in, and is not being updated now that the government is shut down. So last I looked, there was nothing going to regulations website for public comments. Now, why am I talking about public comments? Because we need to understand that when it comes to policy change, rule changes, and things like this, which aren't laws passed by legislation, there is a process involved. And government organizations do have the ability to implement policy changes that would seem like they're on a legislative level, like this one does, without legislation in place. There are various different reasons for that. I don't necessarily disagree with it. But there is an option during this process of implementing a rule change. When an organization proposes a rule change, there are 60 days after that rule change is proposed that there is a public comment period where the public is permitted to go in, read the regulation, do whatever studies they need to do, and then issue statements about how they feel about this regulation, questions that they have, complications that they have, different interpretations of the rules that they have. And the institutional body is mandated to take those things into consideration when they go about determining the final state of the rule. And this has nothing to do with the amount of people. It has everything to do with the type of people or the type of comments. So if only two people comment, they have to take into account both of those comments. And they have to make adjustments based on those comments. They have to at least consider adjustments based on those comments. And if 2,000 people comment, it's the same. Now, comment periods have been effective before. There have been rules that have been drastically changed because of the public outcry in comment sections or during the public comment period. There have been rules that have been totally scrapped because of public comment periods. But when you look at the public comments for a lot of the regulations, a lot of the policies that are in that period, most of them don't receive any attention whatsoever. So that's something that we have to get engaged in and something that we have to take advantage of. But so we need to understand this mandatory public comment period. And we need to understand it as it regarding the MATS rule. We're about halfway through that window now. And if the government doesn't come back up and this regulation doesn't, or this rule doesn't show up in the regulations website, we will need to write the EPA. And we will need to mail or fax that letter to them. Now, I'll have links available on the Freedom Train website. If you go to www.freedomtrain.com and you click on the lessons from the screen area, this show will be listed under the current events tab. Become familiar with how to make a comment. I will have documents detailing that. Become familiar with the rule. Become familiar with what's going on. This is another way to become politically active and to make your voice heard. There are a lot of ways to be politically active during those periods of time when nobody is running for election and you don't have to vote. Every day you have an opportunity to engage your government politically via donations, contributions, you know, purchasing decisions, investment decisions. Public comment periods on regulation, proposed rule changes. All of these things are on the table. So this is important, and I want us to become more politically active. Definitely take opportunity, take the time, read up on some of these things, get familiar with some of these things, and get active and send in something. I'll have a link to the regulations website so that if everything does come back up and those of you want to hope and pray that you can just send in a letter or make a public comment on the website, that's fine. But if it doesn't come back up, understand that this rule proposal was made to December 27th. You have 60 days from December 27th in order to make the statement. I believe that's early March. So get involved. This is important. Because if this regulation is peeled back and other regulations are peeled back, you're going to be looking at a situation where the quality of air in America is going to be extremely degraded. And I've done shows about air quality before. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll see you next week. Let me know what you think. Comment. Let me know what you think about what's going on. Let me know if you agree with me, disagree with me, whatever the case might be. Let me know. And I will see you next time on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review. So you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. I also want to encourage you guys to head over to the website, www.freedomtrainnetwork.com. freedomtrainnetwork.com. You can head over there to the website, gain access to all of the shows on the Freedom Train Network, including this one. You can access to old shows, new shows. You should also check out the Freedom Train app. You can find it in the Google Play Store. If you research Google Play or research Freedom Train Radio or Freedom Train Presents or Freedom Train Network, you'll find the app there and you'll see the Choo Choo Train. That is our trademark Choo Choo Train for the Freedom Train. You can get all of the shows right there on your cell phone. Notification whenever we drop anything, or maybe we just want to see a notification saying hi. You should definitely go and get that app. And you should also take a listen to our live internet radio streams throughout the weekend. We're dropping lectures, we're dropping shows, we're dropping all kinds of interesting things on the weekends. So definitely take advantage of that. I want to thank you guys again for supporting us. And as always, we appreciate you. We will see you next week. This is Freedom Train Network Presents Lessons from the Screen.